Thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I don't know why, but I trust God. I heard from God about why I should be the one to lead you through the end of this fasting period. I believe that God has been helping us so much. Initially, it looked like a very long journey, but here we are. By this time tomorrow, we should have had our chicken and our jollof rice and whatever, celebratory meal, you know, gathered. And we trust God for us to see the maximum proof of the fact that he has been with us. So I want to thank you, Pastor Damon and Pastor Fomi, for inviting me. Also the ministers, the workers, and the entire church. Thank you very much. I'm honored. And I want to thank God for my husband. He is the one who put this background in place, so don't think I'm so savvy like that. He's the one who did it all. So I want to appreciate him for allowing me to be who I am. And I pray for our singles that the Lord God, if you are yet to be attached, the Lord God will attach you to the right one that will enhance your ministry. In Jesus' name, God is faithful. Let us pray. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Father, we want to declare you worthy. We want to declare there is none like you. You alone are God, and beside you there is none else. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the past 62 days you've been bringing us on this journey. And here we are. We didn't drop off. We didn't fall by the wayside. You have strengthened us. You have kept us. You have preserved us. And we've begun to see that you are taking us somewhere. We've begun to experience your goodness, even in the land of the living. We can attest to the fact that this fast is of you, because we can see your hand already. We can see your move already. To you be the praise. To you be the glory, to you be the honor, to you be the adoration. We have come once again, O Lord. We have not come to man, we've not come to woman, we've come to you, the Almighty God, because you are the one who can change our lives. You are the one who can transform our lives. You are the one who can lift us up and cause us to soar upon wings like an eagle. You are the one who can renew our youth like that of an eagle. You are the one who can bring about that restoration that we desire. What cannot be restored by man, you can restore. And we thank you. We have full assurance that restoration is our portion. And not only that, you will also rebuild all that needs to be built. We thank you. And we also pray that that which should not be rebuilt, which is better off dead, will remain so. And your name will be glorified. And we are coming out of this bigger, better, brighter. We are coming out of this lifted. We are coming out of this soaring. We are coming out of this transfigured to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you for answer to prayers. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. So we are all welcome in Jesus' name. When I saw the theme, I was wondering that where do we start from? We have a combination. We have restoration, which means something was stolen or lost or missing, and it was recovered or given back to the rightful owner. Then we also have rebuilding, which means that something was built originally, but somehow, maybe it was destroyed, it became a ruin, something happened that was no longer what it should be, or what it was in the initial stage. So it has to be rebuilt. So I looked at these two, then I was remembering that in the scriptures, you have at least four different books of the Bible that talk about restoration and rebuilding. Like we have the book of Haggai, we have Zechariah, we have Ezra, we have Nehemiah. You know, so we have them rebuilding cities, rebuilding walls, rebuilding temples, and so on and so forth. So my talk will be mostly looking at the church, you know, looking at the church as a whole, as in we know that Corona dealt us some blows. So the question now is, what do we rebuild and what do we allow to just leave and to never, never go back there? What's the new normal when it comes to the church? Then the other angle I'll be looking at it is our own individual personal lives. What are those things that we need restored? What are those things that we need rebuilt? So those are the two angles I'll be looking for. And today, the words that were just coming to my mind were drive-by shooting. When we hear drive-by shooting, what comes to our mind? Some people with guns pointing out of the car window, shooting into the crowd. And we normally have a negative connotation of what a drive-by shooting is. But what I'm sent here this weekend to do is actually a positive drive-by shooting. When there's a drive-by shooting, not everybody is affected the same way. Some people, the shot just goes, you know, over their heads, misses them entirely. Some are caught point blank. Some, maybe it's the splinters or smitterings or whatever they encounter. So it affects people differently. So which means that the way this weekend will go will depend on where exactly we are when the shooting is taking place, the positive shooting now. So for some, it's very relevant. For others, it might not be so relevant, but at least everybody will get an impact one way or the other. And also, when we think of a drive-by shooting, we are thinking of something that is very rapid. So which means that we need to pay close attention because there'll be many things that will be said, which we may need to go back over and actually pray them in. So I came here prophetically as well, apart from the fact that I'm a known intercessor, I'm a known teacher, I'm a known pastor. I also came here with the prophetic mantle. So which means that there are some things that will be directly ours. And of course, we know that we need to, when it's a prophetic word, we need to go back, pray it in, make sure that it fulfills purpose, comes into reality. So I'm going to be as quick as possible by God's grace. But let's please pay close attention as we proceed. So I'll be reading from the book of Haggai, chapter 1. The whole of Haggai, chapter 1, in actual fact, is just 15 verses long. Haggai, chapter 1, from verses 1 through 15. If we could have that projected, please, so that we could all follow along. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Thank you very much. Haggai chapter 1 from verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with hole. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that's in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, as on man and livestock, and in all the labor of your hand. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. May the Lord bless the reading, hearing, and doing of his word in Jesus' name. So we know that Israel have committed a lot of atrocities, and as a result of that, they've been taken into captivity. You know, the temple have been destroyed. The cities have been destroyed. The walls and all that have been destroyed. But eventually, they began to make a comeback. And when they made a comeback, what did they do? Instead of facing the building of God's temple, they started facing building their own stuff. They didn't know what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. They started building their own thing, and it came to a point that things began to go haywire. And God now sent the prophet to them that this is the reason why all these things are happening. You need to rebuild what needs to be rebuilt. You have focused on your own stuff for so long. This is my time. This is my season. This is the time for you to reorganize your priorities, to readjust. Because this is a season for my temple to be built, not a season for your temple to be built and for you to be, you know, gathering in your crops and doing whatever, doing your own thing. And I believe that that is part of why we have had this fast fault. Because if we look at church as at January, February, March last year, many of us had a lot of programs. Many of us had a lot of events. Many of us had a lot of things we were doing that we felt, oh, this is kingdom. And because of that, we invested a lot into them and all that. But I believe that especially last year, we had a time to sit back. We had a time to recoup and say, what exactly is the essence of the things we've been doing? What have we been focusing on? Are they really essential? It always upsets me when I hear that the church is non-essential because they couldn't find a reason why we were in existence. It upsets me, you know. But when we take a stock of what, you know, has transpired, we realize that there were some of the things we're involved in which were not really bearing fruit or abundant fruit. So which means that when we are thinking of rebuilding, we need to make sure that whatever we want to rebuild is actually kingdom. It's actually God's mindset. It is actually what God desires. Because if we are building something and God is not in it, we know what the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 127, that if we are building without him, we are building in vain. If you are laboring without him, our labor is in vain. If we are watching without him, we are just watching for watching's sake. But I believe that we didn't go through the fast just to go back to trying to build what should remain unbuilt or what should remain as ruins. You know, because some things are relics, and those are the things that we need to take stock of and recognize the fact that these are relics. They are no longer relevant. We need to throw them in the dustbin. As I said, I'll be speaking to the church and also speaking to individuals. If someone had told me that my lovely shoes of different colors would gather dust, I won't have anywhere to go, I would have said, you are not seeing well. But it didn't happen, or didn't it? It did. In fact, during that March and September last year, I could say that when we're locked down, not going to church, I had service barefooted. And at the end of the day, one is wondering, okay, you have all these rack of shoes. What are they for? And I remember a message by the GO that this is the time to look in your house. All those unnecessary stuff, give them away. Be a blessing to someone. Why are you clogging your house with all these things? You know, and I believe that beyond clogging the house with things that have to do with physical or material stuff, there are also some things that we needed to unclog, which is why I said not everything needs to be rebuilt. So what are those things that need to be rebuilt? And some of those things, they were probably in existence in the time of the apostles, and we dropped them somewhere. So we need to go back and bring them back in to make sure that we are actually doing the right thing, building the right thing, building with the right materials. Moses, when he went up to the mountain to get the prototype of what he was supposed to make the Ark of the Covenant look like, God told him, make sure you build based upon what was shown you in the mount. It was repeated over and over again. And I want to ask us, what has been shown us in the mount? Have we gone up to the mount? Because God gave an invitation to Moses. He said, come up to the mountain and be there. And it was when he was there during his 40 days that God gave him the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And I believe you know that he couldn't have spent those 40 days just for 10 commandments. There were other things that the Bible does not tell us that he experienced in those 40 days. So we've been on this fast now 62 days. Have we spent time on the mount to get an image for the church, to get an image for our lives? Or have we just been satisfied with saying, yes, it's day 40. Yes, it's day 30. Yes, well, we are making it. Or has there been something that we've received on the mount which needs to come down with us and we build according to that pattern? Because if we are building what is not on the mount, how many people know it will not succeed or it will not go very far? We need to have what has been given to us on the mount, and God will bless it. And there may be new things, things we are not comfortable with, things we don't like. Let me give myself as an example. I think it was February 12, 13. I started hearing, oh, you need to go on Facebook, start doing a live video, praying for children, praying for young adults, praying for teenagers during this lockdown. Because I'm an intercessor at heart, so I pray the news, and I pray the news behind the news. So I will see this story. This person committed suicide. You know, that person had mental health issues. Oh, the statistics for children with mental health issues is outside, you know, this world. It's so, so unusual. When you have a handful, normally you now have loads of them and all. So I was bothered. And God said, you have to go online and begin prayer. And I know myself, I don't like publicity. Left to me, I'll be hiding in one corner. If I didn't have the call of God, I'll be in one corner in the church. You won't even know I'm there. Just come in and go out. So I knew that if I gave myself time, I would not do it. So I just jumped out there, whether I had light, whether I had whatever, I just jumped out there. So it was a couple that saw me and said, ah, we love what you're doing. Do you have this? Do you have that? So before you know it, within 2 days, light came, a speaker came, you know, to make the work better. And it's not as if I went a begging or a borrowing. I didn't even know I needed, you know, those things. But it's not something I'm comfortable with normally. And believe you honestly, from 15th of February till we are speaking, morning by morning, I have to be on there between 5 and 6 a.m. So for very few people are there, so they catch it later. But we've been praying about this thing, and we can see that God really has an interest in this thing. Because sometimes, you know, initially I was thinking, okay, you are praying about this. Where is this going? Is this making any impact at all? Then God reminded me of that parable, that the man sowed good seed in his field. And he's sleeping, he's waking, he doesn't know what's happening. He suddenly sees it springing forth. That's the way the prayers are going. And thank God I've been hearing that, oh, people are encouraged. Because people are depressed big time. And that's part of why the church should be relevant. We look at the problem and we think, how can I solve this problem? Part of the things that we need to rebuild is that sense of, I am here as light. I'm here as a city set upon a hill. I need to make an impact one way or the other. I believe that's a word for someone right there, that there are some things you are not comfortable with that God wants you to build. So there may be the rebuilding, or there may be a new building entirely, because you cannot box God. God cannot be boxed. God will help us in Jesus' name. So we have so many stories of people building all manner of things. And I want to say that when we are rebuilding, we need to make sure that our heart is right. Because we could be making the right moves, doing the right things, but if our heart is not right, it will not result in what we expect or what heaven expects. So our hearts, we need to build it. When we look at Elijah on Mount Carmel, for instance, when he was having this contest, which was a no contest between himself and the prophets of Baal, the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. And where is the altar now? Yes, we look at the altar in church, but the altar of our heart. Because if we did our stock, especially last year, going into this year now, we would have seen that there are some things in us, in our heart, we should not be there. So this is why we go before God and say, these things are in my heart. I didn't even know it. And this is the time for a reparation, to make sure that the altar of our heart is acceptable. And that's one of the first things that need to be rebuilt. We know how on fire we were when we nearly gave our lives to Christ. We know how the moment they say, they've not even said church, we are already there. We are the first person to open the door. We are the last person to leave. And we don't even want to leave. We leave with reluctance. But during the time pre-lockdown, we were just, you know, going our merry way and all that. We know that this lockdown has had different effects on people. Some have become more on fire. Some have become colder than ice cubes. But if we want to rebuild the way God wants us to, we need to make sure that the heart is dealt with. The heart is dealt with. And when we look at the scriptures, the patriarchs in particular, you see they were all altar men. They always had altars that they built. Take Abraham, take Isaac. Even Jacob had altars with all his notoriety. He was an altar person. But ask me, did Esau build any altar? Not that I know of. Did Ishmael build any altar? Not that I know of. Did Lot build any altar? Not that I know of. So we could categorize believers at this point in time into those that are building altars and those that are not. Or those that have let the fire grow cold, those that have let, you know, the zeal wane or die completely. So our heart needs to be properly dealt with. We need a circumcision of the heart. We need a circumcision of the heart. There's a prayer they know I pray so much in our church that I don't want to go through lockdown and remain the same. That's a prayer I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm still praying it, and God has been hearing it. He's been answering me in so unexpected ways. In such unexpected ways, because he's faithful to prayers. I got a prophetic word that I pray outrageous prayers, that I should continue praying them because they need to be prayed so that some things can happen that have to come down from heaven. So I pray outrageous prayers. One of my outrageous prayers is that my toenail, by the time I cut my toenail should be so anointed so that wherever that toenail goes, it will make impact. That's an outrageous prayer. That's an outrageous prayer. Time and time again, since last year, I've been seeing the numbers 333. I'm looking on comments, 333 comments. I'm looking at the time in the middle of the night, 333. I'm looking at it in the daytime, 333. Everywhere, it's as if God is saying, call unto me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know. So I've been praying those outrageous prayers. So what has God told us in this season of time that we need to carry forward and carry on and take along with us? God will help us in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 29, Romans 2:29. Yet, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. The inward one, the Jews, are those that are one inwardly. That means circumcision, the hard parts, those parts that can harbor disease, those parts that can come back to be a pain later, need to be dealt with. They need to be dealt with in this season that we are rebuilding. And thank God for the various prayer points. We have 21 days of thanksgiving. We have 21 days of mercy. You know, these are 21 days of demand. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. There are some things that show up in this season of time and you're saying, I never knew that was in me. Thank God for lockdown. Thank God for all that we've been through. Because there were some things we were doing, there were some things we were harboring, which would have not been okay if the trumpet would sound. Thank God for lockdown. Yes, we know people have had all manner of things, deaths and all that. But on the spiritual plane, we have seen God's hand and we've seen his grace and his mercy. And we pray comfort, we pray deliverance for as many as have been going through tough times in Jesus' name. So God is interested in our hearts. We need to rebuild our hearts. He said he will take away the stony heart. But you know what? Sometimes we want to hold on to that stony heart. We don't want it to go. We want to keep on to, you know, we want to keep on with that stony heart. But that stony heart is resistant to God. That stony heart is rebellious. That stony heart does not want to bend, and it cannot bend. What we need is a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is what we need. And thank God, he's ready to give us that heart of flesh that is tender, that is malleable, that is permeable, that can receive from him, that can hear from him. Because the stony, callous heart cannot even hear. No wonder it may need the hammer of the word to penetrate. But God wants us in this season to have a heart of flesh that will bring about a change for good in our lives and in other people's lives. Another thing that we need to rebuild in this season is fasting and prayer. God took me through the ringer last year. It was as if from June to the end of the year, there was one fast or the other. It started with a 40 day because I said, I've never done 40 days. We have a saying in the Redeemed. If you want to do the works of Jesus, you start the way it started, 40. So 40, like play. I did that 40. Next thing, there was a 21 days. I was on that one too. Before you know it, there's the Redeemed one. I dropped, you know, part of the 21 I was on. I had to jump into the Redeemed one. Before you know it, there's another 20. So it was as if I was going in and out of fast. I've never fasted like that in my life. So God is calling us higher. He's calling us higher. And during one of the fasts last year, the 21 days, I was just going in my dream. I think I shared it on Blessed Shadow. I was just minding my own business in my dream, walking up. Next thing, I saw Gio in a white car. He said, come and eat what I've been eating. And I went. And you know what? It's marathon and whatever I've been doing. If I do 6 to 6, it's like, what are you doing here? So 14 is nothing, 30 is nothing, 40 is nothing, because something happened. There's a season of time that God is calling us to come up higher, to do what ordinarily we will not be able to do. Ordinarily, we should not be able to do some things. But if only we will come up higher. That's the invitation, to come up higher, to come up higher in the place of fasting, in the place of prayer. In the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, 3, Ezra chapter 3 from verses 1 to 3, it says, and when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together on one as one man to Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They were in the midst of coastal territory because Jerusalem had been given over to other nations. But they knew that God had sent them there to build. And in the midst of feeling that fear, they were still building the altar. They were still setting it on its basis, putting it where it needed to be. So in this season of time, by the time we are ascending, we'll find out that some people are not satisfied. They say, are you the only one? It's not as hard as that. Are you the one that killed Jesus? You are taking things too far. Don't let your religion turn you into a mad person. In the midst of that place, they were still setting the altar on its basis. So a decision is left to us. Are we going to set the altar on its basis? Are we going to put it where it ought to be? Are we going to make sure that the foundation is solid, the foundation is strong, and we are building according to stipulation? If Noah had decided that he wanted to remove part of the measurement he was given, I am sure that that ark would not have survived. I am sure it would have leaked water. I am sure that a lot would have gone wrong. But he did it based upon the stipulation he had. He received from God and he did accordingly. And in this season, we need to receive from God and do accordingly. And know those things that are obsolete. And know those things that we need to carry on with. And the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We have to build on the right foundation. Our heart needs to be right. Our heart needs to be right. I don't know why I'm hammering that point, because if we are fasted and fasted and fasted and our hearts are not right, then it's as if we are coming out and going in without any changes. But I'm trusting God for change. I'm trusting God for transformation. I'm trusting God that we won't be the same again, because that's God's desire. That's God's desire for us, but we need to cooperate with him, and God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Another thing that we need to rebuild, I was saying a while back, that there are some things that we dropped, maybe with the apostles or donkey years ago, we felt they were no longer relevant, but actually we need to bring them in. And part of that is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In the redeemed, we don't have those titles, but that doesn't mean they do not exist. And the Bible makes it very clear to us that that foundation is needed. We know the bashing that prophets have received in time past. It's as if all hell is breaking loose on the prophetic. But that's actually when people is talking to, when God is talking to people, to go back to the prophetic, to go back to hearing from God, receiving from God, and being a voice in season. But we see what happened last year. In Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, it says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, and fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what does that tell us? There's a foundation that has been laid, and it's been laid upon the apostolic and also upon the prophetic. It's because we deviated that the government can come and say the church is no longer relevant. Because which charity cannot give food to the poor? Which charity cannot feed the homeless? But when we have the apostolic that is in government, when we have the apostolic in church saying this is the way we need to do things, that has the answers, then no one can say that we are irrelevant. If we have the prophetic that have occupied the seven mountains and they are there saying this is the season for this to happen, and this is how to strategize, this is how to make things happen, then nobody will be able to tell us that we are irrelevant. It's because we didn't go back to basics. We abandoned some things along the way, and we need to make sure that as we are rebuilding, we are not despising prophecies. The Bible says, despise not prophesying. I think it's because of a season such as this. And the thing is, people may say the prophets missed it, but the prophetic intercessors miss it as well. There's more to this than meets the eye, because some of us, we were woken up at odd hours. Some of us, we prayed in the spirit for weeks and for months. It's as if the body was just there, that something has to happen. And then the reverse happened. But God is not done yet. Because how can 10 million Chinese Christians be praying something in their country in China? How can people from all over the world be praying the same thing, be carrying the same burden, and things happen opposite? There's something, because God is not a taskmaster. He's not going to give you a burden to pray something, then you see the reverse happening, and it's him. He's not done yet. We should not despise prophesying. We see people going on social media, having a lot to say, bashing the prophets, bashing the prophetic, all manner of things. I'm doing a teaching on honor in our church at the moment, and one thing I've been hammering since I started is the anointing you do not honor will move away from you. The anointing you don't respect will move away from you. So if you despise it, you won't get it. It's like someone who doesn't honor money, who doesn't honor, you know, people and so on. They'll move away. That's what happens. But God is calling us to go back to the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets. And we are built on that. But if we are only built on the pastoral ministry, there's going to be an issue. If we are only built on the evangelists, there's going to be an issue. If we are only built on the teachers, there's going to be an issue. But we need to be built on the apostolic and also on the prophetic. And all those fivefold ministries are supposed to cause all of us to be what we ought to be, to equip us for the ministry. So one thing we learned in the last season is that the days of celebrity pastors are gone. The days of mega churches are gone, that only one person is the focal point. This is the season where every single person has to be relevant, has to get on top of things and make sure that they are fulfilling their own part as part of the body. Because if the work is left to a few cannot do this thing. We need to go to the grassroots. We need to go to that marketplace. We know the issues we are having culturally at the moment. It's because some few, they are just a handful, but they are very vocal. Some few have decided that the culture needs to shift to favor them. And they want to do everything to make sure it happens. The other day, Pastor mentioned something. I won't mention it here because the funny thing is that that part of the message was deleted. So which means that even speaking some things on social media could get you banned, could get you canceled, could get... I only discovered some few weeks ago that some of my videos had been canceled from my post. I didn't even know. I was checking for an old one and I saw that they blocked many, saying the content was only shared with a few. And I'm normally a public sharer. So that means they didn't like the message. So that's where we are now. So we need to look at what can we do differently. Where's our own social media platform? That may be what God is telling us to rebuild now in this season. Where's our own social media platform as Christians? Where are the things that we are building? We should be the one dictating the terms. We should be the ones with the witty inventions. We should be the one coming out with new things that other people will be chasing after. Not that we go to them to get it. They should come to us. That's the way it should be. If the Spirit of God is within us and is active. So what are we building? That's the question. I know there are some IT people and all that here. So what are we building? And when we build on the apostolic, there are some doctrines. It's as if it's just grace, grace, grace we are hearing without grace doing anything. Whereas the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us that we should deny ungodliness. So that alone tells us that we cannot be building on unrighteousness and claim to be building for God. There are some foundations. Even unbelievers seem to know better than us sometimes. They know decency. The other day, someone was saying, okay, you are a prophet you receive from God. God can tell you X, Y, Z about nations, about people, about cities. But why can he not tell you about decent dressing? He can't speak to you on that. So there's an issue. We need to go back to what, you know, the church is meant to be. The fundamentals, the foundation, the holiness, the righteousness, the humility. All those basics. We need to rebuild with those ones. Very, very important. Very, very key. God will have to help us because there are so many things that we left and we slept off and we are battling with them. The culture wars now, they didn't start in one day. They didn't start in 2 days. They didn't start in 1 year. That book that we read, What Are They Teaching the Children? There's a place there that says in 1952, secular humanists, they sat down and said, we need to infiltrate the education system. And they started going to teacher training colleges. Before you know it, they became head teachers. They began to remove those decent books from the libraries and all that. I used to wonder why there was so much dark literature until I read that book. I said, okay, is this where it came from? So many culture wars we are fighting is because the church kept out of those things and said, well, we have no business. So as we are rebuilding, we are also going into those mountains, be it education, be it finance, be it family, religion, arts and entertainment. We are going in there. Media. Media is even a big thing. So many lies are being peddled. So where is the true media that will tell us the news the way it is, the way it is meant to be? So as we are rebuilding, we are not rebuilding just the church. We are rebuilding the culture. We are rebuilding society. We are stepping out of our comfort zones. We are leaving the four walls of the church because we stayed within there and things went, you know, behind our back. Sometimes even in front of us, and we felt, well, it's out there. But by the time in a church, they are telling a child to choose who they want to be, then that tells you that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. By the time a mother who has five daughters is saying, being chaste is obsolete. We don't need that anymore. He's going to teach the children not to, that is discrimination. To be pure before you get married is discrimination. Then that means that there's a lot of work to do. So we are building beyond the church. We are building beyond where we are now. We are building outside the walls of the church. We have to infiltrate everywhere. We have to infiltrate everywhere. So not just build that will satisfy the people within, but something that will go beyond our world. Because there's a lot of evil that is being planned. People are thinking of new ways to do evil. And we cannot be comfortable because if our children are in school and they are teaching them something contrary to scriptures, and we are staying in our houses believing that, oh, it's some people out there, some weird people. And it's already started happening. That children are coming back to say they are this, they are that, they are the other. I'm being very careful with my words. God will have mercy on us. And he will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So there's a new normal. that God wants us to build a new normal. I'm sure that it breaks his heart when he sees all these things. As human beings, we feel affected. And sometimes, because we hear it so much, it becomes like that's the normal thing. We become desensitized, you know, it becomes normalized, and so on and so forth. But God is not calling us to bury ourselves in our church. He's calling us to the marketplace. He's calling us to politics. He's calling us to education. So as we are rebuilding, I believe that we didn't just go through the 62 days just because we want more money. More money is good. I could do with more money. Not because we want to have a bigger house. Of course, there have been testimonies. Some people bought their house in this season. Some people got new cars, you know, without having to go into debt this season. So many good things that happened in this season. But beyond the material, God is calling us to do those things that will make sure that the kingdom of God comes across the earth. That's his desire, that his kingdom will come across the earth. So as we begin to pray, let's talk to God. That God, and possibly you already have a vision already that you need to do this, but, you know, we can delay, we can procrastinate and all that. But you know what God is calling you into. And sometimes it's not something you are wired for, something you don't like. Normally, naturally speaking, you run away from it. But that's where God is saying you need to be. So I'd want us to talk to God at this time, because we talked about a heart of flesh. We need a heart of flesh. We need a heart of flesh. So if you are still wrestling some things, we need a heart of flesh. I saw something funny the other day, but not funny. You know, the footprints poster that shows two sets of footprints, then it shows a single set, then it shows two sets and all. That was interpreted to say that Jesus was on the journey with the person, but when he was at, you know, terrible state, then he was being carried. So this one I saw was saying that there were some that showed, you know, a streak in the sand. It showed grooves. So that those grooves represented when the person was struggling. So the person needed to be dragged kicking and screaming on the journey because they didn't want to do that particular thing. So I don't know what that particular thing is that we are struggling with God about. We want to come out of this change. We want to come out of this transform. We want to come out of this a different person, so that by the time people look at you, they say, what happened to you? When they saw Peter and John, they knew they were unlearned men, but they took notice of them, that they had been with Jesus. If we have been with Jesus, then there should be notice. Our profiting needs to appear to all. It cannot be hidden. If we have really had an encounter in this season, so let's begin to pray. We need an encounter that will change me. By the time Saul left Samuel, the Bible says he was turned into another man. God gave him a new heart, a different heart. Unfortunately, he dropped it somewhere along the line. But we are not going to do that. The new heart that will sustain the new. The new heart that will sustain where God is taking us to. The new heart that will sustain the transformation and the change that God wants to bring about. And it doesn't need a lot of people. It just needs the individual that is willing. It needs the individual that is ready. It needs the individual that is sold out. So is there any compartment of our life that we have left and said, no, you can touch my career, you can touch my ministry, but when it comes to family, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to finances, you know, those are no-go areas to you. And it's the path that we leave to him that will take care of. If we say he shouldn't go there, he's a gentleman, he's not going to go there. But God wants to go there. Let's invite him to go there. Those areas I've left outside of you, Lord, please go there. Go there, oh Lord. I want you to go there. I want you to go there. I want you to go there because I must be changed. I must be transformed. I don't want to be the same again. Other people have been eating steadily. Let it not be that I've denied myself. And at the end of the day, I have nothing to show for it. I must have loads of things to show for it. This is a fast like no other. Last year, I was encouraging the church that if you've not been doing the fast before, this is not one that you should do. That 50 days we did, I didn't know it was against Corona. And God helped us through. No one missing. Only additions. God helped us through. And he will help us through this one as well. But we are coming to him saying, the altar of my heart. The Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We ourselves don't even know. When God shows us some things in our hearts, we are wondering that what? I can't believe this is there, that this exists. Let's ask God. Touch my heart, O Lord. Touch me, O Lord. Know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. If there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, which means that there may be wicked ways in us, which we are not cognizant of, because our eyes are not open. We need God to open our eyes so that anything that should not go beyond tomorrow evening should not go beyond tomorrow evening. Any work he needs to do in us, let him do that work. 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 God is great in that the Bible says he makes us will and do of his good pleasure. And that ministers so much to me to the extent that even if I don't want to, he can help me to be willing and he can help me to do it. And it doesn't end there. He also rewards me as if I'm doing it of my own volition. We have a magnificent God. He's not a taskmaster at all. He is not. So let's talk to him. Lord, I need a change. I need a transformation. I need my life to be radically changed. Radically, radically, radically changed. And if you are here, I'm sensing that there are some people you've been battling with some certain habits. He delivers. Isaiah 58 talks about breaking the bands of wickedness, undoing the heavy burden, because sin is a burden. Pornography is a burden. Homosexual tendencies are a burden. And we need God. We need his intervention. We need him to step in. And sometimes it's just a mere telling someone that this is the issue I have because the power of that thing is broken. But sometimes we hide them and then they have power to continue to torment us. So, Lord, this is the issue. I've been hiding. Some of us are reading. It's not very clean. Gio has been talking about, dealing with issues. Dealing with these issues. So are there those things that are still lurking there that we need him to deal with? This is my heart. It harbors this, it harbors that, it harbors the other. I need you to do something in it. And some of it has to do with malice or hatred or bitterness. There are some things here. Maybe we are battling with unforgiveness. But God can give us the grace to forgive. He can give us the grace to overlook people's faults or what we prefer or our biases or what have you, our prejudices. You are angry with that person for 5 years and the person does not even know it. It's going on, enjoying the chicken and whatever. This is a time for us to say, God, I don't want to finish tomorrow evening and still be the same. I need a change. I need a transformation. I need you to do a new thing. Do a deep work in me. You know, there's something we call deep cleaning. It's different from the ordinary. The deep cleaning goes with all manner of corrosive, you know, materials, with all manner of pressure to make sure that the kitchen, oven, or whatever is extremely clean, squeaky clean, deep cleaning. God can do a deep cleaning. He can do a deep cleaning. He breaks yokes. He destroys yokes. In the book of Leviticus 26, it says, I've broken the band of your yoke and caused you to go upright. That's his intent, that we go upright, not that we go rugged or we are crooked. No. Or that the lame is keeping us from the fullness of God's will. We are asking that God will do a deep cleaning. He will do a thorough cleaning. you do a deep work in us that will be so changed, so transformed, that we'll look at ourselves and say, is this me? I never knew that this habit could be broken. I never knew that this issue could be resolved. I never knew that this thing could be taken off me. I thought I was going to have to carry it for life. But God, when he's invited in, he comes in to destroy yokes. He comes in to bring transformation and change. He comes in to do a radical work. We've talked about the issue of the heart mostly today, because that is the heart of the matter. The matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. Because if it's not there, we may see some little changes by the time we finish the fast. But the real deal will not happen until we have dealt with the issues. Let's tell God, reveal to me. Yes, we were talking about examine yourself, examine your thoughts in the Open Heavens devotional. Those are the issues. Are we examining ourselves? We are very good at examining other people. It's so easy to examine other people because we can see all this and that. But when God examines us, Isaiah had loads of woes from chapter 1 to 5. But when he got to chapter 6 and he saw the Lord, that woe is me. Woe is me. All the woes for other people, he forgot about them. He said, I'm the one that needs attention. I'm the one that needs to be purified. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold. Precious silver. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold. Pure gold. Refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be, it's a choice, holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. An altar needs fire. And the best place for the fire to be is our heart. Because when we have dealt with that one, then all the other things will just fall into place. When we have dealt with that thing, every other thing will just align. So let's pray. Purify my heart. Purify my heart. We've been through the furnace of affliction in this season. But the furnace of affliction will not have its full work if it's just the externals he dealt with without dealing with the internal. God does not look like man looks on the external. He looks on the internal. He looks on the one within, so that by the time that one is dealt with, then we can tackle every other issue. Every other issue will be a minor thing. So God wants to make sure that our hearts are right for where he's taking us to. In this season, mantles are being released. In this season, anointings are being released. In this season, graces are being released. But it doesn't want to just be released upon anybody. It wants to be released on the one that has the heart that is right. It wants to be released upon the one that is ready to pay the price. It wants to be released upon the one that is geared to go. That is geared to go without making excuses. That is geared to go, whether they see people's support or not. That is geared to go, whether the whole world is against them or not. Look at people with mantle. Elijah was in a class of his own. Elisha was in a class of his own. Paul the apostle, a class of their own. Peter the apostle, a class of their own. God is trying to make people. He's trying to build people in this season. And thank God we have done the fasting. We have done the fasting, but we need to pray the right prayers so that we can get the best result. What do you want, O Lord? What do you want? What do you want of me? I love that song. Take the stage, Lord. have your way. I'm just a vessel and nothing more. And when you're done, please take the glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Is that a prayer tonight? Take the stage, Lord. Have your way. I've occupied the stage before. I'm just a vessel and nothing more. And when you're done, please take the glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. And there's this other song by Hillsong that says new wine. Talks about the crushing. Hey, talks about the pressing. But it says that I'm ready to be in that soil, to be that new thing inside that soil. Because when there's new wine, there's new path. When there's new wine, there's new authority. When there's new wine, there's transformation. But the new wine needs a new soil, the planting upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you because in this season, you are making all things new. This fast is not just for fun. There's a reason. There's a reason. We are praying, Lord, that we'll cooperate with you so that that reason will be fulfilled. We are praying, Lord, that we won't be those that struggle. We won't be that clay in the hand of a potter that will struggle so that the vessel is marred in the hands of the potter. But we are those that will be malleable, pliable. We'll cooperate with you so that our new wine can come out. So that our new wine in this season can come out. Because we know you are not just restoring us. You are rebuilding us for ourselves and even for humanity. It's beyond ourselves. It's beyond ourselves. We pray that you give us the grace to fulfill your mandate and your purpose. And if there's anything we've been holding on to, that is like a pet thing that says, oh no, this one is so precious. But they will not help us. We pray your mercies. You will take them off us, oh Lord, and help us to let go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for today, and we pray, Lord, tomorrow that your visitation will be sure and we'll see you in a new dimension. We'll be able to say that I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. That will be our testimony. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.